Finding the right data matters. Without fresh, accurate data, your ability to open new revenue streams takes a serious hit. Learn how to improve your marketing and increase sales at everymarketmedia.com.
You're listening to The Corporate Data Show, a podcast dedicated to helping business executives manage their marketing data needs. Whether you're looking for techniques and strategies or tools and resources, you've come to the right place. Let's get into the show.
Welcome back to the Corporate Data Show. We're here today with the CEO of Demandbase, Chris Golek. Chris, how are you today?
I'm great. Thank you, Rick.
Great. Thanks for joining us on the show. So, Chris, we're talking during soundcheck. You've got such an awesome story with Demandbase. Can you share maybe 50,000-foot view on your firm with our audience?
Sure. So Demandbase is a B2B marketing technology company and the leader in account-based marketing.
Okay, cool. The leader, how did you get to that spot? Give me some background. Tell our audience why you're the guy to be talking about ABM today.
Well, going back, we started the company about 8-9 years ago, and fundamentally, we were looking at an opportunity to transform B2B marketing. And the challenge with most marketing technologies back at the time, they're all really designed around consumer targeting using cookies. And one of the things that we knew to effectively target companies and accounts in B2B, the attributes are very different. You're more worried about size of company and industry, and cookie-based technologies are typically oriented around behavior and income and more consumer-based attributes. So from the foundation, everything that Demandbase built from the ground up was all around B2B, but it really started with data as a foundation from the very beginning. And then from there, we introduced products to help people personalize their website, do advertising across the web, connect web activity with sales teams, and then connect it all together. But the underlying of everything is data.
I've got a lot of questions about the linkages working within there that I want to ask you outside of the context of a public podcast, now that you sort of brought up a fundamental truth, which we know at EMM just is the absence of B2B data sort of on the web. I mean, you don't log into Facebook with your B2B email. You don't log into your LinkedIn with B2B email. You don't register for stuff with your B2B email. So that's a heck of a root problem you've identified, and I'd love to talk about it, but I think that color moves us more into what we've planned to talk about today and what we're going to pen something for our users to listen to. You've got great history. Demandbase, looking at your site, is front to back, chock full of services to execute it all the way from web traffic into a lead. We want to talk about ABM today. What is end-to-end ABM as Demandbase writes it up?
Yeah, so account-based marketing, in its simplest term, is about marketing to the accounts that your sales team is going to sell to. And your dollars and your metrics and your measurements all around how effective you are identifying those accounts, bringing them to your site, engaging them, and turning it into sales activity. One of the core parts of ABM is all about sales and marketing alignment. And quite often, you know, marketing is running off metrics and measurements that aren't totally aligned with the sales team. And that's
sure.
Fundamentally why so many leads don't get followed up on, because it's just the wrong companies.
Or why bad leads get followed up on and they shouldn't, and why sales teams complain about having junk leads while marketing's meeting a junk quota, which is, you know, I mean, we tell people how many qualified leads we get here at EMM a month, and one way it's embarrassing to say, but in the other way it's, you know, that every lead we're counting in our pipe is meaningful. So that philosophy matters for sure. So yeah, so I mean, outside of the generic sort of ABM conversation, which I know a lot of our audience is familiar with, where does the journey start for a customer with you guys at Demandbase? I mean, you talk about driving traffic into sites. One of the things I want to ask you about, more in the SMB or startups, software as a services companies, they're going to have small amounts of organic site traffic. So can you speak to that a little bit? I mean, can you speak to a little bit about the startup software as a service company trying to drive growth, trying to drive an ABM strategy? It's got no web traffic. I got nothing to retarget. Am I stuck?
No, you're not stuck. Actually, it's a good place to start because you don't have any bad habits developed, right?
Okay, right. True. Good point.
But the most important place to start is kind of baselining and creating some measurement. Meaning, so whether you're a small company or a large company, you know, what is working today? And I guess that all starts with who are you trying to sell or market to? And that takes a conversation with the sales team. Are you focused on the Fortune 1000 or large healthcare companies? Are you focused on mid-market? And so understanding who your target audience is, the accounts you want to sell into, is step number one. And then if you don't have any traffic, you can start focusing your marketing on specifically those accounts. If you do have a bunch of web traffic already, you can measure and see how effective you are at bringing those audiences to your site and engaging them. And inevitably, when we work with customers, they're always shocked, unfortunately, at how poorly they're engaging or bringing those companies to their own site. And in fact, it's not uncommon where we see 8 to 10% of our customers' web traffic coming from really the valuable accounts that they're trying to sell to. What ends up happening, you start optimizing a website around an average visitor that will never buy anything.
Right. Oh, that's an interesting perspective. So how do you start getting traffic to the site? I mean, and break it super simply. I mean, you've got contacts. Are you driving one-to-one email messaging, email to many email messaging? Are you driving it primarily with display and actioning based on targeting those accounts online to the extent that you're able to do that? I mean, just like you said, go get the accounts. What does that mean really, really tactically? How do I go get the accounts if I don't have any?
Yeah, so it's, well, I guess to start with, sometimes it can be what accounts should I go sell to? And you know, we'll talk a little bit about the Spiderbook acquisition, but that's more about discovering which accounts are in market for your products and services. Mm-hmm. So those are the most important accounts you want to start bringing. But
I see. Okay, it's more of like a signature of consuming a certain type of product, making them a likely target. But you can also target based on business pain and a bunch of other strategies.
Email is probably one of the most common. I want to bring people from these companies to my site. So focus your email campaigns, not just around titles, mm-hmm. but around people at the right companies. And then when you layer in display and retargeting, you can be much more effective at bringing the right companies. So, for example, when we have customers that tell us, you know, I just target, let's say, the retail 500, mm-hmm. and show them that only 5% of the retail 500 is coming to their site, we can bring 50% of the retail 500 to their site within 30 to 60 days. And it's not just about a web visit, it's about engagement. Like, are we bringing the right companies? Are they getting to the right content? Are they engaging? And then ultimately, are we turning that into sales activity?
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. It sounds awesome. Hell, I'm hooked and I'm in the data business. How do you drive the traffic in? I mean, what? So you're purchasing display traffic on behalf of your users by identifying their, so it starts with your customer identifying a list of domains, websites, firms, whatever they want to pursue, and then you're purchasing traffic on their behalf?
Yeah, it's a good question. And so, you know, the development of our whole advertising platform was really out of a customer need where they didn't know how to bring all the right companies in. And we had built a proprietary data asset over the years that maps network IP addresses to companies around the world. And it's a really hard thing to do because most companies are hidden behind ISPs, and we built in a lot of discovery and patented methodologies to kind of map network IPs to companies worldwide at much greater scale than what you can typically do through like reverse IP methods. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we took that data set and we tried to use some of these commercial advertising exchanges and DSPs. They just didn't work that well because they're all designed around consumer-based marketing, so optimized around click-through rates. You can start focusing your spend by account. So I might want to spend more to bring in GE Healthcare and less on this one company. And with all the other advertising technology out there, it's all consumer-based. You can't do that type of functionality. So with demand-based, it's very much optimized around B2B. And the key to success is web traffic and sales activity, mm-hmm. not a click-through rate.
Yeah, I'm super excited to talk about this. Pardon, audience, if you guys want to bail for a little, just we're about to get geeky on data, are going to try. The topic, actually, I wanted to ask you the topic of resolving an IP to a company. So this is something we've been working on, and it's on the back of our link key product. But basically, we link a B2B email to a B2C email. And going way back forever in marketing, right, when you use a B2C email in email marketing, you've got to have a consent, some type of consent. Well, you don't have to have it, right, but if someone says you scraped my email and you can't prove it, that's going to be on you. So you end up databasing consent, which frequently comes with an IP address. Give me a minute, I'll get to my point here. What you can do when you can connect a B2B email to a B2C email is you can bring that consent along and start to build a list of IP addresses that identify people who work at organizations where they're connecting from the internet from an alternate to the internet from an alternate IP. We're starting to test this, and this is why I wanted to ask you how you handle it. You're seeing more of these big companies. You mentioned like GE. Okay, yeah, they're on corporate equipment. So many companies are not, right? They're on Amazon's cloud, or they're on their own corporate VPN, or their workers are distributed across the world surfing from home. How are you guys addressing the giant part of the market that is not in the known group of IPs that's corporate equipment?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So, you know, if you use basic internet registry, you can probably uncover 10% of business visitors, but the other 90% are hidden behind the AWS or Comcast or whatever it is. So we've built out methodologies and network effect where we can map IPs to those businesses, even though they're hidden behind Comcast. And we do that through a network effect with all of our customers. And we're looking at probably 3 billion visits per month across our entire customer network.
And then we've got your own first party. You've got your own first party pile of data to tie together.
Pretty much. And a lot of patents that protect how you use IP to uncover a company.
Cool.
And then once you identify somebody in the office, you can then attach a cookie and follow them home as well. Foundational is the IP to company. And then we bring cookies and device IDs and other methodologies so that effectively you're identified at some point at work and then you can be identified at home. Now, one thing that's very, very important with this is a network IP doesn't really attach directly to a person. It's very common that 50 people in an office will all network out through the same IP address.
Totally.
By definition, it's not PII, at least here in the U.S., because you're not tracking somebody's behavior, nor are you storing anything on their machine.
Yeah, and I think it's about this idea where when the price of your product reaches a certain point, you want your message to resonate across many layers of the business, you know, long sales cycle, all those things that come along with it. Myself personally, I don't care if I have to show it to the entire company to get my decision maker to see it. And I think that's popular thought anyways, right? I don't know if it's best practice or not, but I think it's certainly the popular method.
Yeah, and you can use like contextual relevance of the page being viewed.
Right. Right. Cool.
That's great. People interested in like marketing versus finance, for, you know, whatever it might be.
This is awesome. I mean, we could spend all day talking about the platform. I think it's one of the most robust I've ever seen. I'm surprised I didn't know more about demand-based prior to this conversation. So I'm glad you're getting out there and spreading the word a little. I know you guys are an old company, right? I mean, I know you started at ABM in like 2011, but you're older than that?
No, we started back in 2007.
2007. Okay, cool. Well, and the first 5 years is like finding your fit, finding your place?
No, we were focused on, you know, products initially around business contact information, assembling data in a much more interesting way for customers so that rather than buying a list of 20,000 people, you could create your own kind of dynamically and be much more targeted. And then that evolved into combining business contacts with web traffic. And that's when we discovered the issue that you're finding.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities in the story, man. It's kind of eerie. I don't know enough about digital to have gone the way you've gone. I mean, I know a little about it, but not a lot. But I think it's pretty eerie, some of the similarities. Let me ask you a specific question here, man. What advice would you give to a data business or a marketing business that's found its first couple million dollars in revenue and is trying to find more than that? I know you guys took a round, but I mean, what's something to think about as a software service, data as a service company, finding your first few million in sales? You've got those. How do you do something bigger than a couple million bucks?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question, and that was a key part of our strategy. While we had all this proprietary data, we knew that if we just sold the data, we were underselling the potential value we could create for customers. So we've had a dual strategy to continue to invest and innovate in data and in parallel invest and innovate in B2B marketing functionality, which is a very important differentiator for demand base. Because while the data is fundamentally critical to everything we do, it's really the marketing functionality that shows marketers what they can do to generate a lot more value for their company.
I hear the advice within the advice there is raise around, raise around, raise around. That sounded expensive, what you just said.
It is.
I'm sure it's massively expensive.
You got to remember, too, though, like most of the customers we're selling into are mid-market, large and large global companies across a variety of different industries. You know, that comes with 99.99% uptime, you know, a huge global infrastructure. You want 100 millisecond response time. So there's a lot of investment that goes into being able to support these huge companies that rely on demand base. And what's interesting for our company is that all the largest marketing technology companies, you know, ranging from Adobe and Salesforce and Oracle, all use demand base for their own B2B marketing.
Well, I mean, like, and I guess you don't hear them out there telling anybody that, but you know, if they listen to the podcast, maybe they'll learn. Who knows? Yeah. Thank you very much for lending us some of your time today, Chris. It was awesome to talk with you. Nice to talk to another founder. If anybody wants to get in touch after the show, how could they do that?
They can email me at chris@demandbase.com and, or just go to our website. And if they want to see a demo, they can sign up.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us.
Great. Thank you, Rick.
You've been listening to The Corporate Data Show. To ensure that you never miss an episode, subscribe to the show in iTunes or your favorite podcast player. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.